1-0, and Trout hammers one to center. Carter going back, track wall, and we're tied. Onto the grassy area just to the right of the Rock Garden in left center. Mike Trout, career home run 393 as he creeps toward 400. Two-run shot, ties the game at three.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Tough way to lose a game. You score eight runs and you lose a baseball game. You're tied at eight and you lose a baseball game. Tough one for the Rangers. Out at the Big A. I think they call it the Big A still. Out in Anaheim. Pair of home runs for Mike Trout. As a matter of fact, you were up 8-6. You were up 8-6 going into the bottom of the seventh, and you still find a way to lose.
Someone tweeted, Luke Jackson is my least liked Ranger reliever that you can remember for a very long time. And Bobby Bell has been saying that for months.
Yeah, I mean, Martin didn't do tremendously well either.
You know, if we're going to buy, you got to keep your closer in mind.
Oh, yeah.
For what would be done in the postseason. Mm-hmm. We're not anywhere near close with Luke Jackson to having an answer to finish playoff games.
Right. No doubt. No doubt. You can't go. Now, to be fair, we would have thought the same thing going into the postseason in 23. The bullpen was not good. And the bullpen was tremendous in the playoffs. So, yeah, you can.
But was Chapman, you're talking about Chapman too?
Yeah, I mean, nobody really had any faith in Josh Spores, right, going to the postseason. Chapman was.
Yeah, but were any of them as bad as Luke? I'm going to have to get that 2023 ERA.
I wouldn't think they were as bad as Luke. But, yeah, it's.
Chapman was terrifying, and it was a roller coaster, but I think we all had more faith in even that than Luke Jackson.
Oh, yeah, there's no faith in Luke Jackson. There's very little faith in Luke Jackson right now. That was a bad outing from him. I mean, he served up a couple of meatballs, and then the Soler home run. I mean, that thing still hasn't landed.
And Hicks called that a half second off the bat.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was like you heard the crack and it's like, oh, that's gone. So Rangers lose 11-8. Now they do score. They do score some runs. So in the three games so far in this series, which by the way, they're 1-2 in this series so far. They have scored 26 runs in three games, and they've only won one of them.
Brett Boone, baby.
They've scored 8, 13, and 5. So that's 26 runs for you math whizzes out there. And they've only allowed 18. They've outscored the Angels 26-18, and they're 1-2 in the series. They've got they hope to get the split later on tonight. This is another game that is going to be a late night affair. 8:38 right here on 105.3 The Fan.
And then you get the break and you get Detroit and Houston. Ouch.
Well, you get Houston first.
Yeah.
Right. So the Houston, then the break.
Houston, then the break.
Houston,
right,
then the break.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah, the Rangers tonight right here on 105 through The Fan. So they have scored the 26 runs in the last three games. But a player was made available yesterday that can help the offense, or maybe at least his name might be able to help the offense. DJ LeMahieu was designated for assignment by the Yankees. He was so DFA'd. They still owe him like $15 million throughout the rest of this year. I don't think any team is going to pick that up, nor should they. And I wouldn't necessarily trade for him either, because then you're going to have to assume his contract, unless you could convince the other team to pick up a large portion of that salary. He cannot play the field. His body just won't allow him to play the field anymore. He's very slow, limited range. But, you know, he still can roll out of bed and get you a couple of singles.
There's right? 37 on Sunday.
Yeah. He's batting like 265.
Yep.
Not bad. That would be like third on the Rangers. You know, it's not a great batting average, but it's not bad. When you're the Rangers are the DH, if you go back and you look at the DHs they've rolled out, I mean, you're looking at Higgy and Heim and Haggerty. They're basically using the DH spot as a place to give a guy a day off. That's fine. That's totally fine.
Now, since June 1st, LeMahieu, two-time batting champ, by the way, hitting .310 with a .754 OPS in 96 plate appearances.
That's not that bad, right? You can upgrade your DH spot from an average standpoint. Again, he's not going to offer much power. I think he has like 2 home runs in the year.
Yep.
He's not going to offer any power to you, but...
And he hit 2 home runs last year.
Yeah. Does he put bat to ball? Yes, he does. He can still put bat to ball. He's not going to... He's not stealing your bases, right? He can't really run very well. He has foot problems. He can't field.
Oh.
He's got so much... I feel like I'm doing Moneyball where like it's Scott Hatterberg. He can't throw. He's got nerve damage. You know? But he can't do it. Like, he can still, like I said, he can roll out of bed and get you a couple singles the other way.
So since 2020, when he hit .364, I'll give you the average since. .268, .261, .243, .204, .266 with 10, 12 home run power before this year and last year, and no stolen bases, basically.
Nothing. Yeah. So you're looking at a guy who is a mid 200s hitter. Which is still better than, I mean, it's better than what Jonah Heim offers from an average standpoint. He doesn't have the power that Jonah does.
I asked my boy Goldberg, diehard Yankee fan, DJ, worth it as a Ranger pickup. He said, absolutely not, totally washed.
He is totally washed. Like, right. Again.
Then why do we want him?
We don't. I was just throwing that out there. Okay. All he could do, he would be here just as a DH. That's it. So you're looking at, like, again. This DH room is pretty bad. Would he help it? Maybe. You would have to wait until he completely clears waivers and pay him the league minimum.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it is. You are not. You would be so foolish to pick up his salary. Midseason grades from all 30 teams. I thought this was a complete and utter miscalculation on the part of ESPN. The Rangers pitching staff should get what grade this year?
An A.
An A. The Rangers offense should get what grade this year?
A D plus?
Okay,
or a D,
D plus. All right, I was thinking you were going to say F, but D plus, it's even better.
D.
D. All right. So tell me how the Rangers as a whole get a D plus. I mean, that's at least a C. If one's an A.
What about the bullpen? You got to factor the bullpen. What grade would you give the bullpen?
Not an A.
Okay.
Not an A.
Well, let's go. Keep going down the list. What about a B?
Maybe Chris Martin, Garcia. I mean, C plus. C plus.
Okay. So we got an A, we got an F, and we got a C plus.
Yeah. So how is that a D plus? To me, that's a C right there. An A, a C, and an F.
The offense been as bad as the pitching has been good?
Oh.
You know how they say in gambling, the losses hurt more than the wins help and feel good?
Uh-huh.
Has the offense been as bad as the pitching has been good? Which one?
Which one has been more skewed on the scale or whatever?
Yep.
I think, I mean.
Pitching good?
Pitching good. I mean, what they've gotten from Corbin and Malley at times this year and. Yeah, I think the pitching good.
Rangers bullpen ERA, unless this website that I'm at is really outdated, is it the fifth best in baseball? It's a 3.40. The Giants have the best with a 3.17, then San Diego, then the armpit, then the Cubs, then us, then Kansas City. The Nats have the worst bullpen ERA with a 5.73, and the Athletics are a 5.66. That seems right.
Yeah, that
fifth best bullpen ERA. So the overall grade should not be a D.
It should not be a D. So I got a problem with this here. I got a problem with this. They say if the Rangers could somehow squeeze into the postseason, you don't want to face them in a short series. Indeed, if any team looms as an October upset special, it is your Texas Rangers. It also says Nate Eovaldi should have been an all-star. It's fun seeing Jake DeGrom back at a dominating level. But the Rangers' offense has struggled to score runs. And by the way, they also say the offensive environment is poor at the Globe. But they're also near the bottom in road OPS as well. So it's not like they go and they on the road and it looks like they're playing at Coors Field. Right? So it's not like that. But there you go. That is the Rangers and where they are when it comes to the midseason grades. One more thing. Should MLB force the NL manager to start Paul Skeens in the All-Star game? Now, he did last year. He started last year.
Why wouldn't he start this year?
Well, because Zach Wheeler is in the NL as well. And Zach is having an amazing year. He's the favorite for the Cy Young in Vegas. He's allowed two runs in the month of June. He allowed two runs in the whole month of June. He leads the NL in whip, which is walks plus hits to innings pitched, in strikeouts and batting average against. He's also got a 6-1 strikeout to walk ratio for the year. But the All-Star game is an entertainment game, right? They're going to throw in the ABS system, the automated ball strike system. They're going to throw that in at the All-Star game this year. So if Wheeler walks into the room, nobody has any idea who Zach Wheeler is that isn't a baseball fan. Like, a casual observer has heard the name, but they couldn't recognize his face.
He's got 23 more strikeouts than Skeens. Skeens ERA is a Skeens 1.94. Wheeler's is a 2.17.
So
I don't have a problem with it.
I wouldn't either. But like, you know,
I don't have a problem with Wheeler starting.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I'm saying like, but Skeens is like the draw.
Yeah,
he is the draw for the sport from a pitching standpoint. I don't even think it's close. I wouldn't even know who the second biggest draw as a pitcher. Scooble?
Milwaukee.
Oh yeah, Mizorowski.
He's not gonna make it.
Yeah, Miz Nasty. Miz Nasty, right?
4.9 WAR for Wheeler, 4.8 for Skeens.
Yeah, so Wheeler is, like I said, he is favorite right now to win the Cy Young. He's having a tremendous year. He's on a good team. Skeens is not. But, I mean, with Skeens comes Libby Dunn, who apparently can't get an apartment. She went.
Can't afford it?
No, she can afford it. She put down $1.5 million to get an apartment in New York City. The guy accepted her offer. And the co-op board, I guess they have co-op boards there, said, not allowing you to live here. They didn't give an explanation as to why either. She thinks it's that they didn't want somebody who is famous to live there. Which,
I'll take a little sip.
Why? This is where it doesn't make sense. They literally bill this as Babe Ruth's apartment. She bought Babe Ruth's apartment. So she's a famous person buying a famous person's apartment.
We don't want any famous people buying the full house in San Francisco.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
moving into Michael Jordan's estate. No, we don't want that.
It's already a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
It's Babe Ruth's apartment. They're there for 20 years. But guess what the HOA dues are on this thing? Again, it's $1.5 million. Not cheap.
I read
for the
it.
House. Yeah. Peyton, the HOA dues are $4,262.
That's not the rent. That's on top of this, right?
That's per month.
Jeez.
Per month.
Per month.
My word.
And I got scared here in Rockwell with $70 HOA per month. I said, no, I'm not doing that. I can't imagine $4,000.
Is your $70 a month?
No, we looked at houses that were like $70 or $100 per month, and that turned us away from it. So we live in a neighborhood that doesn't have an HOA.
Oh, well done.
So the apartment that builds itself as a tourist attraction doesn't want a famous person to live there, yet they will charge $4,262 per month. Do they even have a pool? It's in Manhattan. Like, how many pools are in Manhattan, right? Do they have a pool on the roof? What are you getting for $4,000 a month?
Diamond Cavs, on your home of the Texas Rangers with Sean and RJ, Bobby Belt out on vacay here with DFW Sports Station. Rory McIlroy fire shots at Frisco. RJ Choppy, tennis expert, and how to save you some big time money when buying your steaks and brisket. That's next on 105 Through the Fan. Below the Belt will still happen at 8:40 this morning on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys. I'll recap the first three episodes of Netflix's Quarterback, including an NFL thought that we may all have been incorrect over. That's coming up at 8:40. I need some parenting advice at 9:00. Here on DFW Sports Station, Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Bobby Bell out on vacay. We forgot to ask Bobby if he was going anywhere.
Yeah, I assume Arkansas. That's where he always goes, right? He just drives to Arkansas.
Pepe, you have any idea?
I don't think so. I knew his daughter had a birthday this weekend, but he's texting us this morning, so I assume he's just, because usually he'll take a week off, but he just stays here. You know, he doesn't always travel when he takes off weeks in advance.
You know, and for somebody who is he's very big on efficiency. He takes the most inefficient vacations. He takes off Thursday to Wednesday. Right? It's very inefficient. He's not getting the use of two full weekends.
But that's why he is a lifer. He does it because of radio ratings.
Oh, I know.
And our book.
I know. It's lunacy.
Now, that is a lifer right there.
It's lunacy.
That's dedication. It's not Monday through Friday ratings in the radio world. It's all screwed up. You may or may not see details on that next week with an interview RJ and I did, which I'm sure Odyssey will be thrilled over. But he did it for radio book rating purposes. And that's a lifer right there.
Well, so. And then I also think because it might be a smart thing because we had the July 4th break, so that was a short week. Now he gets a short week this week and next week. So he's got three straight weeks without working 5 days a week. Now, I know he does it because of what you said, but it's not, a terrible idea if you lined up with the holiday to where you get three straight weeks of not working 5 days a week.
Yeah. Well, he was working on AI songs yesterday. I know that. They're on his Instagram story of how much he could. He sent us a Morgan Wallen rap, I think.
Yes, he did. Right.
As soon as he gets on vacation, he starts working
He starts working.
AI Morgan Wallen. Okay, RJ Choppy, tennis expert behind the scenes here at 105 Through the Fan in our 11th floor studio. RJ Choppy every day just seems to be more and more fixated on tennis. I know I'm supposed to be the tennis guy, but you have taken a liking to Wimbledon like I can't remember.
Oh, look, you know, the other day, it really hacked me off. So I was looking and they just showed, we happen to have it on ESPN here. They're showing Wimbledon right now. And
John Isner in studio, friend of the show, said tennis has never been more popular. I'd like to see their ratings and numbers. Yeah. And he's like, no, more and more people are watching than ever before.
Yeah, and it really all started on the 4th of July. I went over to a friend's parents' house, and they're big tennis fans. And they were all watching Wimbledon.
Sounds about white.
And they were rooting for this girl, Emma Raducanu.
Sure.
And she was playing Sabalenka.
Makes sense.
And
we'll call her Vita from now on.
Next to Raducanu's name was the little, the Yukon Jack, right? The Great Britain flag. And I was like, guys, you know, it's really very wild that y'all are rooting for a British person on the 4th of July.
While you were drinking your Modelo.
Right. Absolutely. Listen, the irony and hypocrisy is not lost on me. But I was like, you know, this, we beat them on the 4th. We don't root for them on the 4th of July. Now, she was playing Sabalenka, who's from Belarus, but you wouldn't know it because they don't have a flag next to her name. And I did some digging, and I'm like, they don't display, Wimbledon will not display a Russia or Belarusian flag.
Yeah.
Because of the war in Ukraine.
Right, which now, to me, with the live match going on, Sabalenka does not have a flag next to her name, the number one seed.
Which, to me, is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, this is, and I Googled it, and I got even more enraged about this. They're not putting any flags up, and I'm like, this is what I knew, we have lost our way as a people. It's where she's from. It's a factual statement.
Yep.
She's just from Russia. She's not supporting them. She doesn't represent them.
Yep.
They don't choose where they're from.
All people in Russia are not bad.
They don't. She doesn't speak for her country. She doesn't speak for her idiot president. You know, like it's stupid.
It's disgraceful. I think it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
On the part of Wimbledon, ESPN, NBC, whoever is in bed with broadcasting.
Yeah. Focus on things in England that matter, like making your food edible.
Work on ice cubes.
Getting better teeth. You know, how about that?
Wearing deodorant.
Worry about what Prince Andrew's been doing for the last 25 years, huh? Instead of what where Sabalenka's from and whether or not you're triggered by a Belarus flag. I don't know. That's funny.
Now, what if this was broadcast in Ukraine? What if Wimbledon was in Ukraine?
I'm sure Wimbledon is. I'm sure they broadcast it there.
No, I'm sorry. Like, took place on the grounds.
I mean, still factually, she's not.
I know it's factually, you know, I mean, but it's like.
She's not fighting. The people fighting in that probably don't even care.
I know. I'm just saying, would you think about it any differently?
I don't know. I never thought of that. The good thing is I don't have to because it's not in the Ukraine.
Okay.
So I don't know. But anyway, I'm really getting into this because the other day I was all upset because, you know, I don't like to see upsets. I hate upsets. Sabalenka was taking on. She's the number one player in the world. She was taking on an unranked girl, Laura Sigmund, and she was getting beat. She came back and she won. I don't like upsets in general. I want to see greatness survive. And Sabalenka is just so arrogant. I love her arrogance. She wins a point, loses a point, and it's the same emotionless, stoic, slow walk of like,
very Russian.
I'm still better than you. That's what it is.
It's very like Eastern European.
It's so Eastern Euro. She's got no emotion. She's a robot.
Yeah.
She's an absolute robot out there. So I am getting into this.
And then you're upset with Dennis Rodman's daughter.
So Trinity Rodman.
I'm telling y'all, every commercial break, he's spouting off about something.
Trinity Rodman is Dennis Rodman's daughter, although she doesn't want to admit that. And I get that part. Ben Shelton is her boyfriend. And he took on Jannik Sinner yesterday. And he's an American. He's a good player. But during the broadcast, they showed Trinity Rodman in the stands with Shelton's family, and they made a comment, and she was not too happy.
The ensemble here as well. Trinity Rodman is the girlfriend of Ben Shelton, great soccer player in her own right, the daughter of former basketball star Dennis Rodman, and then sister Emma, who played some college tennis as well at South Carolina and Florida. She's there on the right. Still around here because Ben's urging probably helped her company, her employer in New York, let her stay a little longer and skip a little more work.
So Trinity posts on Instagram. For those who don't know, my name is Trinity, not Tiffany. I don't know where that, because it didn't say Trinity. It didn't say Tiffany in that clip. But also she writes, for Ben's matches, he has his family there as a support system, which includes his dad. My dad's not even in my life. No need to bring him up during his matches when I don't even want him talked about during mine. It's him and his loved one's moment. Thank you. And, you know, she had said on the Call Her Daddy podcast with Alex Cooper that he's an absentee father and an alcoholic.
Yeah, she's always called out Dennis.
She's always called. I didn't know much about her. Like, I knew there was a girl named Trinity Rodman that was like a soccer player.
Yeah.
But I didn't know much about her at all. But there she is. And she's been there for Ben. She's plays for the Spirit. I don't know who the Spirit are. They're a team.
Look, let's
but
just
she goes,
get
I
to
lost it. Hope on him, and I'm never getting him back.
And that's all fine and well, and I'm not defending Dennis Rodman, but I agree with you on this. Just shut up. The commentator is making an obvious point and connection. Oh, my God, the last name Rodman. It's not like your last name is Jones, okay? People watching him like, oh, Rodman? And he didn't talk about your quinceañera and your daddy-daughter dance. Okay, just relax. Relax a little bit.
The announcer's job is to tell a story.
Good gosh.
The announcer's job is to tell a story.
Chill
like,
out.
That's part of the story, is that she is his girlfriend. She also happens to be Dennis's dad, or Dennis's daughter. Even if Dennis is completely a jerk and completely absent from her life and one of the worst fathers ever, when I heard that, I was like, oh, is that Dennis Rodman's daughter? Right. That heard her last name Rodman. Like you said, it's not Jones. If it's a unique last name and Rodman is like the first person you think of, there's two people. You think of Rodman or Dennis Rodman when you hear that last name.
All right. My new suggestion to you, if you're going to grill, smoke, and be obsessed with barbecue like me, Wild Fork Foods. More on that in the days and weeks to come. Wild Fork. But I used to get my meat at Costco. I was telling Corey Majors. Corey Majors, I think, just got a Costco membership. I told him, Wild Fork. You can cancel the Costco right now. And if you do buy your brisket and your steaks at Costco, there's supposedly a little hack for
you. Especially the meats that are not packaged with that white styrofoam underneath. Okay? Especially those. So you get your ribs, your briskets, right? On the sticker, it says one thing. Turn it over on the back, and there's a stamp. So what happens is Costco gets all their meats in one big bulk shipment. And sometimes, oftentimes, in every box, they've screwed up. The people who package it screw up and put the wrong thing in there. So what they're saying is take the ribs or take the brisket, flip it over, and look for the stamp. So when you're buying choice meat,
yeah,
if you flip it over, on the back,
it'll have a different stamp sometimes.
A lot of times, it'll have a different stamp.
And that's the one to go by.
And that's the one to go by. That's the one that you go by, but you're still charged the choice price. So the hack is that in every single freezer, if you really dig at the ribs and the brisket, chances are you're going to come across one that was misplaced, and it still puts the choice price, but it's a prime brisket or a prime rib.
Someone going to Costco today, please report back. We have a Tolo who works there, hooked me up with some ribeyes, or just let me know when it was in the store. Didn't hook me up because they were expensive. So let me know if this works.
Yeah, because the stamp on the package is put on by the USDA, right? That's the stamp of the package. But when Costco gets it out of the box says choice, prime, whatever, right?
Wow.
And they just take all the ones in the choice and just put their sticker on it. They weigh it and put the sticker on it with choice.
That's a lot of money saved if true.
What's the difference on a brisket that's... heavy is a brisket?
It could be... I mean, you could get them for, 21 pounds, 15 pounds, 18 pounds.
So a 15-pound choice versus prime, is it...
We're talking...
$50, $100?
At least 30.
It's a good deal.
Yeah. And if you buy a couple of them, because I don't want to go back, or the Wagyu ones sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't want to... You stuff one in the freezer... I mean, we're talking probably $30 to $60 saved, depending on how many you buy. Oh yeah, but the difference in the meat is significant.
Yeah,
you just look at the fat marbling, that's it. And if you're getting prime brisket for choice prices, someone's got to tell me if that's legit today. Sean and RJ with Bobby Bell out on vacation here on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a Tolo, y'all. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. Have we all been wrong about our NFL offenses needing motion, and why is the Michael Irvin barber story being told again? Audio you need to hear in below
the bell
without Bobby. Even better, next on 105.3 The Fan. But you know what they serve at Hurtado Barbecue? Prime brisket. Wow. Not select, not choice. Brandon Hurtado has his local rancher's deal. You may have heard of the guy. There's some landman connections. Anyway, just know you're getting the best brisket quality at the official barbecue of the morning show and the Texas Rangers. And you are getting entertainment to go along with your barbecue, because tomorrow night, Arlington location, Dean Ray from 7 to 10. So you go in there, you get your prime brisket, you get your cocktail at the Haters Bar, shoot a game of pool in the back, and then you can go to the middle area, the patio, and enjoy the live music on a Friday night from 7 to 10. But if you're in Dallas or you want to eat barbecue and have music again on Sunday, it's going to be Tyler Hammond, 1 to 4 at the Farmers Market location on Harwood. That's going to be this Sunday, 1 to 4 in Dallas. Tomorrow night, 7 to 10 in Arlington with Dean Ray and Tyler Hammond. Stop on by, grab his book, Barbacoa, Wall Street Journal, number one Mexican cookbook in the world right now, being ordered in the UK. Number one barbecue book on top of it, with the seasonings and all the tips and the Mexican that has taken over DFW. HurtadoBBQ.com and HurtadoBBQ.com/catering. The great Bobby Belt.
RJ Choppy here. I'm back, baby.
I watch more football than you do. Below the Belt, brought to you by D&M Leasing with Sean and RJ. Bobby is out on vacay for about a week. I know many are rejoicing here on DFW Sports Station, but you should not be rejoicing, because Bobby is a football machine, and he would probably do a better job than I do of describing who Jeff Perlman is.
Jeff Perlman is a longtime sports writer, very opinionated. I've known Jeff a long time. Jeff is...
Oh, you know him?
Yeah. We've been Facebook friends forever.
I've been Facebook friends too, but yeah. I don't know him.
Yeah, he used to came on, I think, with Irvin, with the Irvin Show. But yeah, I've known Jeff for a long, long time.
Like New York Times bestseller, author?
Easiest way to describe him, he wrote the John Rocker story. The John Rocker 4-train, 7-train, whatever it is, talking the super racist comments. That was Jeff Perlman's story.
Also wrote Boys Will Be Boys,
mm-hmm.
The glory days and party nights of the Dallas Cowboys dynasty.
What's that Lakers TV show that was on HBO?
Showtime.
He wrote that. He wrote that book.
So he's been around for a while. He's very opinionated. He's got stories for days. And he sat down with the Going Deep with Chad and JT podcast and retold the Michael Irvin haircut story.
Cowboys used to bring in a barber to training camp because where they trained, it was very hard to find someone who did black hair, which is a problem for any black kid growing up in America in a white town. You can't find a good barber. And they bring a barber in. And the Cowboys had an offensive lineman named Everett McIver who went to get his haircut. And Michael Irvin goes, seniority. All the offensive linemen are like, that. Don't get up. Don't get up. Mm-hmm. And Irvin's like, seniority. And Everett McIver's like, you. And he's refusing to get up. And they start getting in a pushing match. And Michael Irvin grabs the barber scissors and stabs him in the neck and drags it along. And blood is sprouting everywhere and blah, blah, whole thing. It's a crazy scene. Michael Irvin at the time was on probation. So if that had gotten out, he's going to jail. So the Cowboys never reported it, gave Everett McIver a nice payoff.
I felt like you had a real respect for Irvin, that he was able to be such a wild man, but then on the field, he was so accountable.
I think he's one of the most unique characters in sports, modern sports history, where he was using drugs and he was womanizing left and right and he was out late every day. But I've never seen a guy like this ever, ever, ever. Somehow he demanded accountability at the same time. And like teammates fed off of him. And the leader of that team wasn't Troy Aikman and it wasn't Emmitt Smith. It really was Michael Irvin at the same time he's living this crazy ass life off the field.
You ever get Michael or hear Michael confirm that story on air? What would he say if we asked him about it today?
I don't remember that. I don't remember ever bringing it up.
Peyton, have you ever heard that? I wanted to play that just in case.
I've never heard of that before.
You never heard that? So
no.
And Aiden, no. So I wanted to play that for the younger Tolos who never heard that legendary story.
Yeah, I mean, Michael had no problem admitting to a lot of things.
Oh, no.
Michael has no problem admitting, especially in private. I don't remember ever talking to him about this story,
though. Yeah.
I don't know if maybe I did. I just didn't. His answer didn't like sit with me because it was like, oh, maybe he just said, yeah, I did it. Or maybe I didn't. And it just didn't sit with me. But I don't remember ever bringing this up. It's a wild story, though.
Yeah.
Like just stabbing somebody in the neck and then like just the idea of that.
That's a story. If you didn't know Michael Irvin, I would sit here in another city and be like, well, why? What a piece of crap move. Oh, we shouldn't be loving this guy. We shouldn't be laughing at this guy. But if you know Michael Irvin, you're around Mike, you're like, ha, funny. A funny, crazy story.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, what a freaking lunatic.
I know.
You should be in jail.
You should be in jail. Like, you know, and you know, you could bring up, like, let's just say if it was true, this is at the time where Michael was probably partying it up a lot. Was he on something at the time? With his wits about him? Obviously not.
Yeah.
You don't stab somebody in the neck when you have your faculties in order.
Well,
I think maybe you do.
What you're talking about.
He had to set the tone. Seniority.
Had to set the tone.
Seniority. That's why I tell people around here all the time. They're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm like, seniority.
Seniority.
No, that's the way it's got to work. That's my chair. Seniority. Okay. So that's Jeff Perlman retelling the Irvin Barber story. I've been watching Quarterback Netflix season 2, and I think I'm like 3 episodes in, and I'll just go through my notes here. It's Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, and Jared Goff. It opens with Burrow playing the piano.
Is he a really good piano player?
He's not a really good piano pianist? Player. No, but he's like, I got off time.
What'd you say?
I've always wanted to learn how to play. I think it would help with my wrist that I damaged.
You really want
to
play?
Me?
Yeah. My sister's getting rid of her baby grand.
Don't say that with my mother-in-law listening. My mother-in-law wants a grand piano in our living room for my kids to play.
Yeah.
My wife fights her on
it's gorgeous.
It every month.
It's like 30 years old. My mom got it for my sister when she was like playing piano.
She's going to give it to me?
Well, she's going to sell it.
How much do you think?
A
30-year-old gorgeous piano. Can she play? Can any of them play? I wish I could play.
Oh yeah, they could. Her kids play.
Oh, I would love to know how to play.
But they're moving to a very bad place. They're moving to California.
Oh,
and they're downsizing.
Of course,
they're moving from Colleyville to California, and they like half the size of the house.
Of course,
they can't have space for it, so they're gonna sell it.
Yeah, I think piano is the number one instrument I wish that I could play. I'm not going to do all the work to learn it.
Yeah.
But I wish I could. I wish I knew how to play.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love for my kids to know how to play.
I'd be sitting like Elton John.
Oh, yeah.
Banging away. Billy Joel banging away at the keys.
So Burrow is playing the piano to start off. I always remember you saying Peyton Manning didn't know how to open up a soup can. It doesn't sound like Burrow knows how to do laundry. His mom did everything for him, man, while his dad was a coach out there on the road. So washing, drying, folding.
This gives me hope that my son's going to be a professional baseball player. He can't do a damn thing either.
Jared Goff's girlfriend, a big star in this swimsuit model.
Yeah.
She seems really, really cool. He's got a calendar of her when he's sitting there studying film.
I'll take a little sip.
You know, it's kind of badass when you just flip your calendar and it's your girlfriend's swimsuit collection.
Does your birthday month have to be her best photo?
No. It's got to correlate with the weather. So like June, July, August, probably the hottest. Although, you know, December, I'd expect some type of like Santa Claus.
Oh, sexy Santa
fur
outfit.
Type outfit.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's Jared Goff's girlfriend, who was the female star in this. And Kirk Cousins, he is a unique individual. He's flying to Antigua, and it's like, oh, family vacation. No, he's going for stem cells. He's talking about Claymation Santa during rehab. Coldplay, Creed, Alanis Morissette, Celine Dion. He's getting his hair cut at Great Clips. I mean,
That's on brand. The Great Clips is 100% on brand. Fantastic Sam's is another one I could see him going to.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely on brand for Kirk.
He's leaving voice memos for coaches. It's real cheesy. He's driving home after a win. They didn't score a touchdown. And he's like, Coach, I just want to say, like, I'm not playing well. I'm not playing as well as I need to. But he used this voice memo trick from Peyton Manning. Instead of texts or calling right after a game, he's leaving voice memos. But my number one takeaway was Kirk Cousins drowning in the new Atlanta Falcons offense with 45 different pre-snap motions. Drowning in it. A 13-year, and it got me to thinking about what it's one of the absolute laws we all believe in as football fans. If your offense has more motion and more pre-snap movement, you're better. And if you don't have it, you're stagnant, you're boring, and you're not going to have a good offense. That's just one of the football laws that we all believe as fans. 45 different pre-snaps. Kirk Cousins is a 13-year guy. Seeing all the offenses, you'd think. He's totally overwhelmed. He's drowning in the info. Drowning. So before we go crazy over Schottenheimer and Dak and McCarthy changes, that was the number one thing to me from episode one. Kirk Cousins could not handle all the movement.
You know, was it Bobby said Rodgers doesn't like a lot of the movement? He didn't like it. I know Manning didn't like it.
Yep.
I'll never forget. They were playing the Cowboys were playing the Colts in 06. And Bill was like, it's a really easy offense to play against. He goes, it's a really easy offense to kind of go up against from the standpoint of they don't move. That Manning doesn't like any kind of motion. So you can kind of figure out what they're doing that way. It's still hard to beat, though.
The great sports argument from this is Falcon fans getting furious at Cousins, admitting multiple times he knew he was hurt. He knew he needed to rest his arm, but selfishly went out there because he didn't want Penix to get his job. And he said, you don't want to get Wally Pipped. I learned that from Drew Brees. Drew Brees never wanted to let the backup see the field. And my initial reaction is I don't blame Cousins, but then I'm trying to put myself in the jersey of a Falcons fan on how ticked off would I be that I got a quarterback who's clearly compromised, not wanting to do what's best for the team, but also being a competitor and wanting to stay out there. So that's an all-time sports argument.
It is, because a lot of quarterbacks, very few quarterbacks want their backup to get any reps.
Any player.
Yeah, even if you're so stable. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, none of them wanted their backup to get any reps. It was like, I need all of them.
Yeah. I think I blame the coach and the staff
for allowing that. Yeah.
More than Cousins. You're not seeing on video the throw, the zip isn't there on the throw. The leg isn't holding up as much. The movement isn't there. I got to blame the coaches more. But then you also have to trust the player. So that's another double-sided.
You got
to
trust the player. But also, like, they didn't know Kirk.
Right.
Right, they didn't know Kirk. They had no idea what his game was like.
Yep.
up front, up close, and personal in practice. They all they could see
and whether
was what there was
honest
on tape.
With injuries.
Yeah,
is
no
he
idea.
Going to tell you straight up? So Falcons fans were ticked off at Cousins.
It's a risk. It's a risk. That's the problem though with signing somebody who's hurt. You know that's the issue. The Mavs are going to figure this out with Kyrie. Like what's he like? What's he gonna? We don't know what he's gonna be like post injury. The difference is that the Mavericks know the player. They know the person. You know, they know what he should look like up close and personal in practice.
All right, there it is. Below the Belt, brought to you by DNM Leasing, in place of Bobby Roberto Belt, who is out on vacation. Final hour of the show. I need some parenting advice, and we get you set for the Cooper Flag debut against the Lakers this evening. That's next on Sean and RJ.